Shall we play a game?
Aw, man. Are the summer games already reaching their denouement? I'm trying to use cinematic terminology there because we are on the last day. Thank you of the summer games. I'm Luke Burbank. That's my friend Andrew Welsh over there.
I'm your ingenue, if we're using those types of terms.
Yes, you very much are.
Thank you.
You're a real Mary Pickford.
Who's Mary Pickford? I know that name.
She was an early ingenue.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't ingenue mean sort of young female starlet who is in a lot of films?
I always thought kind of a leading lady, with a side dish of sexuality.
I don't want to put that on
maybe
Mary
that's
Pickford.
Not, maybe the sexuality is, maybe I'm, I thought it was somebody, who's somehow like either being pined after or in a relationship or potentially the kind of a Black
Widow
kind of character. What is it?
Actually, you know what? An innocent or unsophisticated young woman, especially in a play or a film. So actually, I think Mary Pickford was playing slightly more innocent folks. But I'm with you.
I'm very wrong, but I've always been wrong.
But I think I had sort of the same thought. I never really knew what ingenue meant or ingenue or whatever that pronouncer just said. But I think I assumed there was something a little bit like sexualized about it, the mm-hmm. kind of young screen vixen, if you will. And I don't think that's what it meant.
No, actually quite the opposite. And I see that there's a kind of a male version as well, because that's a pretty gendered word, and there's a male version.
The Anjahi?
The Hijanu. No, but it's kind of like, it translates to juvenile, sort of. So yeah, it's always like kind of a wide-eyed, unsophisticated person. Interesting. We're learning things.
Yes, we are. All because our friend J-Dog suggested this little exercise that we started on yesterday's program called a movie trailer game, where you play a movie trailer and see if your friend can figure out what movie it's from. There was a point yesterday. I'm going to give you credit, Andrew, because I was ready to wrap things up, and you said, let's just play one more trailer so that we've at least gotten a couple of these things checked off the list. And that was good, because we actually only have three trailers each today,
mm-hmm.
which I think is probably the perfect amount. Six trailers total. And then I got a couple of extras, too, that didn't work that I could always just play because they made me laugh, or mm-hmm. I thought they were interesting for one reason or mm-hmm. another. But we wrapped things up yesterday with you playing a trailer for me. I think it was Under Siege, mm-hmm. starring Steven Seagal. So can I just go ahead and play this trailer and see if you can pick this up?
Yes, I'm excited.
All right, here we go.
Sam.
Do you wake from your finest fantasy only to return to your daily nightmare?
Mr. Wall.
Yes, Mr. Wall.
Is your mother about to look younger than you do?
Oh, Brazil.
Whoa, my, you got it.
Yes.
Man. Do you want to hear a little bit more of it?
Yeah.
A
few doubts.
Then it's time to take a stand. To break out of your dull, humdrum life and into Brazil.
You're so pleased you could make it right this way.
It's about flights of fantasy.
Now, I thought of you and this film. Well, first of all, we make references to this mm-hmm. movie all the time on the show. Even though, Andrew, I don't know if I've ever seen this movie.
Really?
Yeah, like I would the VHS cover was omnipresent in my childhood. It was always up at you go to a video rental place. I would see that very iconic. It's like a guy whose brain is exploding, right?
I can't remember. I feel like I remember the font, which was like kind of a
just Google
font.
Brazil and do an image Brazil the film, and you'll see this guy. And I remember looking at that picture endlessly as a kid, seeing it on the VHS tape. It was the original exploding unicorn brain.
Oh, you know, emoji. You know what I'm seeing a lot of is, yes, I am seeing that now. There's another one that there, another big image is seems to be like a human wearing big wings. But now that you say it, I have seen this exploding brain one. Boy, the idea of exploding minds, whether it's a unicorn or a character in a 1980s movie, really, really sticks with you.
Yeah, so right?
Resonates
so
this, with you.
Yeah, this the cover that the one where Brazil is written in kind of a hot pink neon font, and I don't know if that's Jonathan Pryce's character or if it's somebody else, but basically that whoever's being depicted there and their mind is exploding and all this stuff is coming out, that was the cover of the particular VHS tapes that made their way into Seattle.
Yeah.
And I just that picture is very, very, very indelible in my mind, but I don't think I've ever seen Brazil, but what I know it to be from your description, a film. Well, what is the movie actually about? Now that I've seen the trailer, I'm kind of intrigued. I kind of actually want to watch it.
Well, it's been so long, and I only remember bits and pieces, and as I'm looking at some of the images here, I kind of forgot how bananas it gets. But, you know, it's a sci-fi film that especially kind of targets the absurdity of well, it's like they're under an authoritarian government, but also it's about the ridiculousness of, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Like processes or administration.
Yeah, bureaucracy.
Bureaucracy. That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you.
And that's why it comes up on our show, because when there's something that's bureaucratic but kind of pointless, where you're just being told to go stand in that line so that you can then go stand in a different line, you at some point said it's like out of Brazil, and then I've just taken that little tidbit and run with it. So I'm constantly like, now that movie just means weird, pointless bureaucracy silliness. Watching the trailer, though, there were some things that jumped out at me. One, his mom, who that was when your it sounds like your brain immediately connected with it when they're doing
Mona.
Yeah, Mona from Who's the Boss. And she gets a name check. Like later on in the trailer, they're listing all of the actors. Also, Robert De Niro is in the film, which is it's just funny to see a version of Robert De Niro that's not not Travis Bickle Robert De Niro, and also not Meet the Fockers Robert De Niro.
You just played two De Niros playing non-De Niro roles, because in the last episode you played Jackie Brown, and that's another very un-De Niro-y De Niro role.
Right, like in this, like, oh shoot, I started this over, which was kind of dumb, because otherwise I could have skipped to the De Niro part. He's like, he seems like he's kind of a jocular fellow in this film, and kind of a little bit of a nutcase. He's got these glasses on. Actually, let me just play this. I'm sure we'll get there.
Can you fix it? No, I can't.
From Terry Gilliam, director of Time Bandits, Jonathan Pryce.
Sam. What are we going
to... You know what? I think we need to skip forward, skip back a little bit to hear the De Niro part. Let me see if I can find it.
Pretty unsavory. Hey, trust me, Jack.
And late night shopping. True love.
You don't trust me?
Trust you? Trust you? The man who hijacks my truck, loses me my job, has every security man in town looking for me? Of course I trust you.
I was only trying to help.
Yeah.
And creative plumbing.
There's your problem. Can you fix it? No, I can't.
From Terry Gilliam.
Okay, so it was a little short. He says, there's your problem. And then he says, can you fix it? He says, no, I can't. But there's just a lightness around this De Niro character, even in that, like, 2 seconds.
He plays an anti-government rebel, I believe. I think they're called plumbers, but, like, more plumbers in, like, the Nixonian sense, sort of. I think he calls himself plumbers. But I think he's working, like, kind of on the wrong side of the law.
But I just, like, I can only think of, like, young, physically imposing De Niro, and then old, I'm going to just basically say two words, De Niro. It's interesting to see in between De Niro. So you got it right, my friend.
All right.
Brazil.
Are you ready for this one? Now, I would...
I'm so ready.
Well, I won't tell you. I have a theory about this one. Take a listen. Okay.
Novelin, this is Bob Howard. Bob's the greatest pulp writer in the whole world.
I'm the boss. Top writer's the employee. No argument.
I don't forget faces. All women's figures.
Sweat beads the forehead of the man facing us. In his eyes were like burning coals. Wife beaters, sex deviants.
Hey, hell, you be careful with that. That thing is low.
I say, the hell with what they think.
I said to myself, Robert Howard, there's a girl who's gonna appreciate your moonlight.
I'm in the mood to
Huh.
Love story. Hold on. Okay, so you still don't know. Okay.
I don't. Was that getting, Denzel?
Nope. We're getting on. We're getting to the key here. Okay. I know. Here are some things.
Bob Howard. I know
that
this
you
movie,
haven't
though.
Seen this. Well, you know this trailer.
Why don't you tell me about your character, Conan?
Conan is the damnedest bastard there ever was. To him, combat's a way of life.
So this is a movie about the guy that wrote Conan the Barbarian?
Yes, remember, it's this line that Genevieve and I always say. Take a listen just to this line.
Combat's a way of life. It's all he's ever known. All he ever wants to know!
Do you remember?
Why did we get on this topic at some point? What's the name of the film?
The name of the film is The Whole Wide World, which even I wouldn't have known that. I had to look it up. Conan Ryder movie. I've never seen the film, but we played this on the show as one of the greatest, worst trailers of all time. And that line, it's all he knows. It's all he wants to know. I feel like nary a week goes by that Genevieve or I don't yell that at each other in some way or another.
The Whole Wide World, I'm going to probably just repeat exactly what I said the first time this came up, but it's amazing to me that they made a film about the guy that wrote Conan the Barbarian.
There is so much that is amazing. There's so much that is amazing about that trailer. It looks so bad, Luke. And underneath, so it's a whole, that's Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh, and it's Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah, that's the voice you're hearing. And here are some of the comments underneath. This was the best movie I had ever watched. I had to send away for it because I'm in the UK, Scotland. That was posted 1 year ago by somebody on YouTube under the name Exploring Biblical End Times. I'm not joking. Somebody with the nom de plume Samwise Gamgee just takes some of the script of the movie and writes it out here. Some of the dialogue. I won't read all of that. Dream City 2 years ago says underrated film, poignant and real. People love this movie. Miss La Love 123. This is just 4 months ago. This is hot off the presses. I've never felt more connected to the characters, and then to find out that it is a true story too, even better. And it makes it that
much
more
touching.
Okay,
I'm on this page now. Someone called Truth Seekers 422 says, really, CDC? You're going to use your hashtag art on that hashtag GIF?
Okay, I'll stop reading.
It's fun when I make jokes that are based on the last 4 hours of our life, even though
it's the last 4 weeks of
this. This is now happening
life.
4 weeks after it's recording.
I mean, there is something about, and I know reading YouTube comments is not the best use of our time.
Oh,
but
no, that
like,
wasn't. I
no,
wasn't
no, no,
trying
but,
to
but
subtly tell you that.
I mean, I got to say, that looks like the worst trailer and the worst movie I've ever seen. The worst movie I haven't seen. But I kind of like that the comments are just from people who love it. Like, you don't need a bunch of me being like, what is this shite? You know, or a bunch of people saying Vincent D'Onofrio is a, I don't know, was killed by a Clinton. I don't even know what sort of conspiracy theory would be on there, but I'm kind of glad to see it's just a bunch of people who just like love this movie. Now, chances are I don't want to watch any movies with these people, but it's kind of nice to see a love fest in the comment section.
I can also see, I mean, it's got Renee Zellweger in it. Remember I couldn't say her name? Well, I still can't clearly, but there was some point where I was having real trouble with her name.
I don't remember that, but Zellweger, Renee Zellweger. Yeah, I do love her.
But she's obviously good at acting, and I think that probably Vincent D'Onofrio is a good actor as well. And so I can see this being the kind of film that, like, my mom would tell me about.
Mm-hmm.
Because I bet you that if you are watching the film and maybe not steeped in, like, I don't know, Tarantino and Brazil and other things that we've played. Not that I'm saying I'm such a cineast. In fact, I'm really not. But, like, it's the kind of thing. Like, my mom loves The Waltons. My mom loves Little House on the Prairie. My mom loves things that have pretty easily followed plots and characters, and you kind of know who the good people are, and you kind of know who the bad people are, and you want the good people to win. That sort of stuff really appeals to her, and my guess is this movie just traffics in that, and so if that's the kind of thing that you really enjoy, it's a real heap and helping of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And who am I to take away others' pleasure?
Exactly. Here's another one, Andrew. Actually, you know what? Let's do this. We're about almost 15 minutes in.
Yeah.
Let's take our first little break, and then we'll come back, and we'll round out the last three here, or at least the last three that I have. Coming up in a moment on TBTL. It's so funny to me, Andrew, you were saying, oh, let's play the Hooray for Hollywood music during the break, because you were saying, like, oh, you kind of missed that when we used to do those Oscar shows. And
yeah.
It would be like Tom Tangney, and we'd be making food related to it. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I know you're not the biggest Oscars head, and I actually learned that I wasn't either once Jen, who went on her merry way, I was like, oh, that was 100% Jen, like, you know, hoisting the show up onto her back and carrying it to a fun Oscars thing. But yeah, we used to play this basically underneath these kind of long, fairly elaborate shows that we would do about the Oscars, and we would bake food or make food that was related to the different movies and stuff. That was really fun.
It's a testament to you and Jen and Tom Tangney and what a good show TBTL was. I'm not saying was to make a joke about it now. I just mean when I was not a part of it and I was a listener, and it was a very different show then. Yeah, no, I wasn't interested in the actual Oscars or the ceremony or who won, but I could listen to you and Jen and Tangney talk about movies with this music underneath it for days on end and probably never get sick of it.
Yeah, so a little blast from the past for folks.
By the way, because you didn't get A Whole Wide World, which, you know, maybe that's my fault for getting too difficult in there. But I do have three right. You have two right and one wrong. So that's kind of embarrassing.
I'd like to point
you
out that I spent a lot of time picking films that mm-hmm. you had heard of.
Yeah.
You're throwing me some D'Onofrio with his co-lead. I can't even say her name. Renee Zellweger. Who? What?
Zellweger.
Okay. So let's see. I guess it's my turn.
Yeah, it's your turn.
I am losing 2-3, but hopefully you'll get this wrong, and then we'll pull even. Is that how that works?
Yes.
I don't know.
No. All right. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well. Yeah.
Maybe. Here we go. Take a listen to this.
Across the sea of stars lies another world, a world almost exactly like ours. This is where he lives. He's 27 years old, single but searching. Favorite sports, windsurfing and Aikido. Favorite pastimes, cigars.
What's that?
Well, I just said what?
He has everything except fulfillment. And then one night, it happens.
Now, I have to pause it there because it'll start to reveal itself. But what do you think based on that intro?
Oh, is it Howard the Duck?
Wow, Andrew.
Not only
are you not losing, you're pulling ahead.
I saw that movie once when I was a kid, but for some reason I was getting like Short Circuit vibes from it. But I'm like, no, I don't think that Short Circuit, what's his name, number one or whatever that robot.
Johnny Five.
That's what I said. If you go back to the tape, which I'm about to edit.
Minus half a point.
You'll hear I got it right.
I'm pulling closer.
But I was like, I know that the robot wouldn't have smoked cigars, at least not until he got humanified. And for some reason, the duck, because I don't know the plot of that movie, but I was just picturing cigars. And for some reason, I just had a feeling it wasn't the
good
human.
Job.
Oh, man.
I also
I'm
thought
proud.
You might get it. Let me play a little more of this for you.
Hey, good buddy. Are you home?
He has a very sudden midlife crisis. He lands in Cleveland.
What?
By the way, you'll
I
be
didn't
hearing
remember
that.
That.
You'll be hearing that on the show, my friend. I didn't know that was part of any of this.
Know why you were sent to me?
Listen to me, small visitor. I can explain how you got here.
Maybe you're here for some greater purpose, some cosmic cause.
I believe that's Leia Thompson.
Oh, that makes
talking
sense.
Talking to him.
Here, he's forced to reassess his career goals.
I gotta watch
you
this.
Went to med school?
To explore new relationships. To redefine his self-image.
I'm sorry, we don't allow pets on the premises.
To adjust to a changing lifestyle.
All right, pull it out!
They still haven't said anything explicit.
Just who he really is.
Right.
Oh, no.
A duck in big trouble.
There it is, a duck in big trouble.
That's a duck, man!
Howard the Duck, trapped in a world he never made.
I'm watching that this weekend.
Coming from George Lucas, a Willard Hike film, a Gloria Katz production.
By the way, George Lucas. I didn't
no
know that.
Yeah, me neither. He was in that puppetry.
What I know about Howard the Duck from being a kid was, oh, that was a big flop. That's all I knew mm-hmm. about Howard the Duck. In fact, to this day, did you hear the reason that I said it starts to reveal itself is because someone's singing a song called Howard the Duck.
Oh, I didn't even
notice that. Which
sounds
for all the world like the B-52s.
Oh, I didn't
Do you
even
think?
Know.
I'm wondering if they got
I don't think it was the I mean I'd be sh- I could be wrong about this. I'm not saying I know everything about the B-52s, but given the intense B-52s phases I went through not that long historically after this movie was out. I feel like I know that they did, for example, the Flintstones. You know, they did the Flintstones movie theme song, I believe, or maybe the sequel. I'm looking up. Are you looking up Howard the Duck theme song?
No, but I'm just fascinated by the Howard the Duck Wikipedia page. So it's a 1986 American science fiction comedy. And the film, the screenplay was originally intended to be an animated film.
Yeah. Oh,
okay, who is this doing this song?
It's performed by Dolby's Cube featuring Cherry Bomb with Leia Thompson on lead vocals and George Clinton and Joe Walsh.
Strong, let's get crazy vibes. Oh,
yes, you're right. Song of the summer, indeed.
Wow, so that's Leia Thompson singing. That's the mom from Back to the Future singing, and also the love interest from Some Kind of Wonderful. I don't need to read Leia Thompson's CV. But this is interesting. It was supposed to be an animated film, but it became live action because of contractual obligations, which I think was part of why, like, initially, it was considered to be a flop because I think it was hard to really pull off the, you know, the technology of this like duck that's for some reason living in our sort of normal world. But this is what's interesting to me. I just told you that all I ever knew about Howard the Duck was that it was supposedly a big box office flop. It actually wasn't. The budget was $30 to $37 million, and it made $38 million at the box office. So, I mean, maybe it only made $1 million, but it didn't lose a bunch of money.
Yeah, that's
so
true. Although
I wonder where I got that in my head.
I don't know, but you probably have to make more than $1 million to be considered a success. And maybe
a hit.
There might have been like a lot of expectation built around it, too.
Well, right, because it is a George Lucas film. Also, it has been considered among the worst films of all time, but has also developed a cult following. It was nominated for 7 Razzie Awards. It won 4. Oh, that's interesting. It said it made, it made $38 million. I guess only $15 million of that was in the U.S. So turns out the international market was a little more ready for Howard the Duck than we were here in the States.
Okay. I'm ready. I want to get to a couple more of these. So if you don't mind, can I jump in here? Now, Luke, on my list, we have done
You're going to ride my ass, at least pull my hair.
Come on. We've done a comedy, Brain Donors, right? We did a kind of a heavy drama, The Whole Wide World. We did Under Siege, which was an action movie. And now, Luke, we're going to go with a very different tone. By the way, you have like 2 minutes and 19 seconds before I have to pull the plug on this. So take your time and enjoy it.
All right.
Divorced white female. Beautiful, statuesque blonde. Witty.
I already know it.
Cultured.
What is it?
Basic Instinct.
Nope.
Dang it.
Lizzie, this is your mother. Remember me?
You should give yourself credit for a lot. You're terrific.
You don't have 5 brothers. And my mother was a clerk at a grocery store. I support them. I take care of them. I don't know you. You really don't know me.
You have plenty of time.
I can't figure this guy out.
I have a present for you.
We can take off your dress.
Is that Travolta?
Nope. If I tell you, you'll get it right away, but I'll give you a little bit more time, and then I'll tell you who it is.
Is that Howard the Duck?
I don't want you to leave.
Does this excite you?
Yes. I will have you. Yes, I will have you. I will find a way. And I will have you.
I remember this song.
I like to watch you move.
Do you like it?
No.
I will collect you.
Is
this ask me how I like
show
this?
Girls?
Put them all on. It would mean a lot to me.
Is that Mickey Rourke?
It's Mickey Rourke.
9.5 weeks.
Indeed. I knew you'd get there eventually.
And I'm the one who's not supposed to say boner patrol.
It's very sexual. And it gets
really
even
is.
More
so. That was Kim Basinger and Mickey Rourke.
Yes, without any voiceover clues, but I figured, with 2 minutes and 19 seconds, a very sexy movie, and I feel like that's kind of a, because we're old men, like sometimes if we're trying to make a sexy movie joke, we'll go to 9.5 weeks.
Well,
so I figured
when he said, I like to watch you move, it narrowed it down to like one of five terrible movies where people are just having sex the whole time. And the guy will say something to the effect of, I like to watch you move.
You know what would have given it away? And I don't think it's in the entire trailer, but if they had started playing that god-awful song, You Can Leave Your Hat On.
Yes.
That would have really been the clincher.
I saw, I believe Peter and I, sorry, Peter Williams, that I'm putting your business out there, but I believe we rented that film. Because, of course, as you know, young teenagers, we were quite fascinated with the female form. So anytime we heard about a movie that had some nudity in it, we were there for it. And I guess, I think we were allowed to rent that one because it was still like on the very upper end of rated R.
Really?
And it's just, I think what happened was there was all this kerfuffle around if it was going to get a like an NC-17 rating or a rated X or whatever that was at the time. And I bet you that they edited it down so that they could get it under the wire. Because I'm sure the hit to the business, if you can't rent it in, like, you know, a Safeway, would have been really bad. Because I know that we rented it, and I remember just thinking it was such a bad movie. And also, it wasn't like, I don't want to get too explicit, but it was the kind of depictions of adults making love that I guess is supposed to be hot to other adults, if that makes sense. You've seen the movie, right?
Yeah. I probably saw it for the same reasons. I was titillated by the idea of it and ended up really disliking it.
Well, yeah, because it's a lot of them just being kind of in like a house or apartment, like feeding each other strawberries, like in a supposedly erotic way, but like, again, not to bring this into modern life, also not something that I find particularly erotic as an adult, but but as a 14-year-old, I had no context for it, and I'm like, he's grabbing food out of the refrigerator and just throwing it at her and making her eat strawberries, and I was like, I want to just see some boobs here.
Yeah, now you just want to eat strawberries.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm
like,
just hungry for strawberries.
I was into the movies that were made that involved nudity, but also were made for teenage boys, like Porky's films and things like that. This one, it reminds me a little bit of like The Unbearable Lightness of Being.
I never saw
that. It's based on the Milan Kundera book. And again, I had no idea what was happening in the movie, but it just had massive amounts of nudity, which I sort of appreciated. But again, it was a little too grown up. It was like the nudity was serving some larger adult kind of narrative that was lost on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I had similar feelings. So what do you think here, Luke? Do we take a break and then come back and maybe play maybe one more off your list? Or I have one more.
Are you all out or you have one more?
No, I got plenty. I just wasn't sure if you were trying to get out of here. But let's at least take a break and then figure out where we are. All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
All right. So you just did 9.5 weeks, which, again, weird. But I've got one for you that's also a little, I don't know, not off of our radar, but not Howard the Duck. Okay, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
So take listen to this. Tell me if you can figure this one out.
If I don't come back, you tell Mother I love her.
Your mother's dead.
Well, then I'll tell her myself. Got a loose cannon here.
You think this boy Moss has got any notion of the sorts dead are hunting him?
I don't know. He ought to. He's seen the same things I've seen, and it certainly made an impression on me.
Just how dangerous is he?
Compared to what? The bubonic plague?
Oh.
The crime you see now, it's hard to even take its measure.
It's just all out war.
Sorry, they decided to intersperse every...
Stop what's coming.
They decided to intersperse every piece of dialogue with the loudest boom of all time.
You don't understand.
This is just a big, long, loud build-up. I'm going to have to stop at the end of this build-up or it's going to give it away.
Okay, here's what I know. I know I hear Tommy Lee Jones. I thought I might have heard some Woody Harrelson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
You're two for two, my friend.
But I can't think of what movies they were in together. This is clearly not Wag the Dog that had Woody Harrelson in it. But it's also clearly not.
It's the darkest trailer ever for White Men Can't Jump.
It's not I Didn't Kill My Wife, The Fugitive.
No. But that is a Tommy Lee Jones movie.
That is a Tommy Lee Jones movie. It feels.
Soundtrack by Ricky Lee Jones.
Are they on an airplane?
No, they are not.
Okay. Hold on, though. Okay. Because I feel like I'm getting like. People describe auras. And I don't know exactly what that means, but I feel like I get the aura of this movie. Something I haven't seen, but it's probably been on when Genevieve's watching TV and just lands on something. I'm going to guess that Woody Harrelson is – like is Tommy Lee Jones a marshal? No, he's always a marshal.
Of some
right?
sort. He's yeah. always some sort of lawman, and he's a lawman in this. Can I give you not even a hint so much as to steer you in a direction? You've seen this movie. It's not like some – kind of slept on the 90s film that would be coming up on like the USA Network over and over. This is a prestige film.
This is a prestige film with Woody Harrelson. I'm proud of that one. Tommy Lee Jones, you can always recognize his voice. I don't have anything left in the No. Wait, now I'm just making weird noises.
I want to go
second,
on
I was
that journey.
Say, for a second, I was going to say No Country for Old Men. That's a prestige movie, but that doesn't have Woody Harrelson. Is Woody Harrelson in that movie?
Call it.
I had to cut it
call
before.
It. Yes,
Anton it. Goes call it because yes. that would be the dead giveaway. It's No Country for
you
Old Men.
You had to give
men.
Me a lot of clues there. I'll give myself a third of a point. I'll give myself a third of a point there, not even a full half.
There's a great line that basically because of the vagaries of this trailer, there was a few things. It starts with the, you know, is this, how do you say his name even? It's like.
Oh, I can't remember. Javier?
Like Javier Bardem's character is like Anton Gurdjieff or something weird. But he's going around with that like air compressor killing people and being super weird. So it starts with him doing the call it friendo, the coin toss. So that was going to be a dead giveaway. And then there's you know, some stuff with the first voice that you heard is my goodness gracious, how could I James Brolin. Sorry, not James Brolin. Who's the younger Brolin?
It's not James Brolin.
Is it James Brolin?
I feel like
James Brolin's the dad.
Oh. I'm looking at Brolin actor. I thought it was James.
Oh, Jace. It's Jay something Brolin. I don't think it's James.
Josh.
James
is Josh
Brolin.
Josh.
So that's Josh Brolin. And then there's this great line, which I don't know if I'm going to needle drop this in the right place, but basically Tommy Lee Jones shows up at some murder scene, and somebody, however, let's just play it and see if we find it.
Call it.
Okay. Oh, phooey. Sorry, the way they have this stupid thing set up.
Do you want to leave a message?
Yes.
This is the bad guy still
I'll
wandering.
Come back and tell mother I love her.
Your mother's dead.
Oh, phooey. Anyway, there's a... I want to find this because it's just going to bother me otherwise. Tommy Lee Jones has a great Tommy Lee Jones line. Will you humor me?
Mm-hmm.
Let me just play this thing out.
It's a mess, ain't it, Sheriff?
There we go.
If it ain't, it'll do till the mess gets here.
So there's all these dead bodies, and the like underling goes, "It's a mess, ain't it, Sheriff?" And Tommy Lee Jones goes, "Well, if it ain't, it'll do till the mess gets here."
That is a really good like line. Yes. I'm still confused about the ending of that movie. I feel like I'm not smart enough for the ending of that movie, although I haven't seen it in a really long time.
Pam Grier gets the money.
He just gives a long kind of, he's talking to his father, right? And he just gives kind of a long soliloquy about stepping away from the law. Isn't that how that movie ends? And it's
supposed to, not, is that the Coen brothers?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's an amazing, I mean, that movie is such a departure. Oh, I wanted to tell you that, like, I guess I don't have the audio right here. I could click on the link, but some of the other ones that I tried, I know that we're not done yet. You got one more to play for me, right? But we,
yeah.
I wanted to play There Will Be Blood for you, but it's just like,
oh,
there is no way away from Daniel Day-Lewis's Daniel Plainview.
I like, drink your milkshake.
He doesn't even, but we don't even get to that, but just, I have a competition about me and that I will just see that no one else should win. And it's just like, you can't, there's no not knowing what's going on. But then after watching that, I was like, fuck, sorry to swear. It's F It Friday, everybody, on the Summer Games. I was like, well, dang it, now I got to watch There Will Be Blood. Like, the trailer is so good.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I didn't enjoy There Will Be Blood. And of course, that's P.T. Anderson, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't really enjoy, I saw it in the theater. I thought it was too much scenery chewing, too over the top. I remember actually not enjoying it. I might feel differently if I had the patience to sit down and watch it again. Again, it's one of those things where I kind of trust the filmmakers and the critics more than I trust myself on that one. Maybe I was just impatient, but, like, I don't know. It just didn't pay off for me. It felt like a pretty long slog that didn't really pay off for me personally.
I mean, I definitely thought it was about an hour longer than it needed to be. There was long stretches where I was just sort of, you know, kind of checking out a little bit. But, again, I would put P.T. Anderson's work kind of similar to Tarantino's in that even when I don't really know why people are doing what they're doing, it's all very watchable for me usually. Mm-hmm. And so I don't understand the Daniel Plainview character necessarily. I'm not good with allegory and metaphor and
reading
literary things and storytelling devices and what things are representing other things. Like, but just his energy in this trailer, just to like reconnect with that energy of those scenes. Maybe what I need to do is just keep watching the trailer. The trailer's got most of the high points.
Right.
All right.
We should start a show called The Trailer Park Boys, and we just
Ayo.
Watch trailers. All right. This one's going to make you mad. Here's my last one. I have two because I came up with an extra one in case we did have – and, of course, we did have the same brain donors one. I have one that's a little bit more delightful, but I'm going to go with this one. It's going to make you mad, though.
Okay.
On the streets of Boston.
Already that's making me laugh. Just like that terrible music. On the streets of Boston.
On the streets of Boston.
This was no gangland assassination.
It was way too sloppy. Something went wrong here.
An FBI agent is on a case.
All the low-lifes in the quiet city of Boston start dropping dead, and you think it's unrelated.
They're all bad guys. Now they're all dead bad guys.
The victims are the...
I want to make sure that you heard this. That's not walking. I don't want you thinking along those lines because it'll mess you up.
The victims are the mob.
What we have here, gentlemen, is the beginning of the first international mob war.
And the hitmen think they're on a mission from God.
Anybody you think is evil, don't you think that's a little weird, a little psycho?
Sort of like 7-Eleven. We're not always doing business, but we're always open.
That is nice and put.
It was two shooters.
Bang, freaking tasty.
This guy's very sharp. If he hasn't figured us out yet, he will.
All we know is what we found out from the neighbors. And the general consensus is they're angels.
Amen.
Oh, wait. In a place where the Boondock Saints?
Surround that which is evil, so that which is good may flourish.
One lawman. I don't think I knew anything about the angel plot.
I don't remember.
Oh, is that Willem Dafoe?
It's Willem.
That's who I'm thinking was
freaking Dafoe.
Walken.
Yes, and I love Willem Dafoe's portrayal in this, and he's totally over the top, and I love it. But this movie does not stand up. The first time I watched it, I loved it, and because it was so weird, and I love Willem Dafoe. But and don't forget, I always forget this until I watch the trailer. One of the Boondock Saints is Ned Sparks from Summerdale.
It's the
guy
really?
who played
Sean Bean.
Sean Bean, yeah, exactly. He's the guy who played Sean Bean.
That's funny because, well, that whole movie, I've never seen that movie, but its lore is so huge because mm-hmm. the guy that wrote it was a bartender, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't the story
you told
that?
Me that? Yeah.
Yeah, he was a bartender in L.A. and he sold. I think his name is like Sean Black, maybe, and he like literally was that Hollywood dream of you're behind the bar and you have your screenplay and like. You know, whoever, some Hollywood producer walks in and you hand him the script. And they basically gave him, like, unprecedented control. And, you know, I guess maybe, like, the good version is Sylvester Stallone making Rocky and starring in it. What's seen as the less good version is this guy, it's Shane Black is probably his name, actually, is this Shane Black guy having total control over his first project and making this movie that cost all this money and was a huge flop, although now it's developed kind of a cult following. Mm-hmm. And it was just sort of, I think it was a cautionary tale about you know.
Troy Duffy is his name, right?
Where did I get Shane Black?
Because I don't know if we're talking about the person who wrote the screenplay is Troy Duffy, and it looks exactly like the guy that you've described.
Yeah, that's
like a lot of like bald head, mean mugging with a beard and like a black leather jacket and sunglasses on. Like he really had his moment of and fake punching towards a camera. Like he just looks like such a doofus.
I think I just totally just transposed a name because there is a Shane Black, but he's like been in and directed a bunch of really good movies that are very popular. Things like The Nice Guys, The Predator, the remake, Iron Man 3, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. So. Somehow in my mind, I took that poor sumbitch and made him into the guy that wrote Boondock Saints.
Did you watch the documentary Overnight? Is that where you're getting a lot of these? Overnight is a 2003 American documentary by Tony Montana. The film details the rise and stumble of filmmaker and musician Troy Duffy of the Boondock Saints.
I think I read a really long, like,
New Yorker
Rolling Stone
review.
Article.
Yeah, sure.
I was probably like GQ. I don't even think it was as highbrow as the New Yorker. But anyway, sorry, Shane Black. Keep at it. You look like you're doing some good work. And to Mr. Duffy, we hope that, you know, fortunes turn around. I'm sure that there's a crisp business in Boondock sainting up the cons, though. You know what I mean? Like anything that gets a high enough cult status like that. I'm sure that, like, if the guy who made Boondock Saints comes to a Comic-Con, I'm sure there's a long line, right?
So. I guess so. He sounds like a real piece of work, though. He is not our kind of person.
Really? I've forgotten. Well, first of all, I forgot his name, but I've also forgotten the details of him. So maybe he's not a great guy. This was one of the ones, and then we should go, Andrew, yep. lest we do an entire show.
How
honestly,
dare we do that for our listeners?
God, that would be a disaster. I tried this one. It didn't work because it gives itself away way too quick, but just enjoy this. Based on that.
Is it Caddyshack?
No, that song is very associated with, well, anyway, let's keep playing.
The world's richest man and the world's poorest boy.
The Magic Christian?
Yes.
I recognize that, who is that band? That's the No Matter What band, right?
Oh, that's Badfinger?
Badfinger. I think they did all the music for this because they were also on...
Yeah.
They were the first signatory on the Apple label.
Right.
Yes.
Right, I learned that from you. I learned it from watching you.
I learned it from listening to you tell the same half story.
I was trying to think if there was a way to edit around, but Ringo just keeps saying dumb shit that's a giveaway.
You know what is today the day we're recording this, not the day that we are publishing it, is Ringo's birthday, I believe.
Huh. Peace and love. Peace and love.
Indeed.
All right. I guess we're here at the end of the show. We're picking our last rocking classic. What would you like to finish this edition of the Summer Games out with?
I feel like this is a somewhat fitting song to end these 2 weeks. We will be coming back on Monday. And my question for you, Luke, and my question for the listeners is, will you still love me tomorrow.
You know
this
I will.
This is off of the Lovin' Classics Rock and Gold cassette tape. It's not by the I think the Chiffons might do the most famous version of this, but this is the Shirelles, which I'm guessing was slightly more affordable to mass to dub onto cassette tapes and distribute to the masses for McDonald's back in 1986.
So that's how we'll wrap this up. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out with us the last couple of weeks. We'll be back here on Monday with a brand new live edition of the show. I'm sure I'll have lots of stories from gunk holing and getting up to all kinds of adventures. Andrew will have some stories about Theo's thunder shirt. It's just going to be a show you can't miss on Monday, so join us for that. Until then, have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday, and please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Power out.